They'll be reading from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13.
The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus left the house and went to the lakeside, where he sat down to teach. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it, while the crowd stood on the shore. He used parables to tell them many things. Once there was a man who went out to sow corn. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky soil. The seeds soon sprouted because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it burnt the young plants, and because the roots had not grown in deep enough, the plants soon dried up. Some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plants. But some seeds fell in good soil, and the plants produced corn. Some produced 100 grains, others 60, and others 30. And Jesus concluded, "Listen then, if you have ears." Jesus explains the parable of the sower. Listen then and learn what the parable of the sower means. Those who hear the message about the kingdom but do not understand it are like the seeds that fell along the path. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in them. The seeds that fell on the rocky ground stand for those who receive the message gladly as soon as they hear it, but it does not sink deep into them, and they don't last long. So when the trouble of persecution comes because of the message, they give up at once. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes stand for those who hear the message, but the worries about this life and the love for riches choke the message, and they don't bear fruit. And the seeds sown in the good soil stand for those who hear the message and understand it. They bear fruit, some of much as 100, others 60, and others 30. This is the word of the Lord.
So in a little while, I'll be again asking some of your wisdom about soils and all those sorts of things. Now, Brenda's not here this morning. All right, that's the rest of us then need to be ready to go. More about that shortly. So I want to offer a few thoughts about this Matthew chapter 13, and maybe possibly a little shorter this week, and we may actually finish a bit earlier than what we normally do, although I'm just looking at how many times I've written ad lib here. We'll see. It's always dangerous when a minister says something like that, but anyway. Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. In Matthew, this part of Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 13, there's a change, there's a turning point that's happening in the journey of Jesus. Up to this point, Jesus has been teaching mainly in synagogues, a couple of other places as well, but mainly in the synagogues. Now in chapter 13, he is teaching on, as is the case here, on the shore of the lake, on the sea. He's teaching in villages, in homes, on the roadways, all sorts of places. And one of the reasons for that is that the opposition from the scribes and the Pharisees is starting to build. And so he's not as welcome in the synagogues as he was in the early days. As I was writing that, I was remembering John Wesley and numerous others but around then. But John Wesley in England, as he begins his preaching, he certainly is preaching in Anglican churches, but then more and more he is facing opposition and they chuck him out of lots of different places. And so he is preaching on the streets and fields, wherever he was able to do that. And before chapter 13, Jesus is using some pictures and examples, but here in chapter 13 and onwards, he starts to use these full-blown parables to teach about the kingdom of God. And so next week we'll look at chapter 13 as well, some of the parables that he talks about there. So just a few comments about parables and particularly Jesus' use of them. Various commentators make various comments about parables, but these are the kind of things that parables make truth into a picture which everyone can see and understand. And in that way, Jesus uses things that are familiar. More about that shortly, but he uses things that are familiar, and it opens our minds and eyes by beginning where we are at and things that we can relate to, and leads us to where we ought to be. Parables puts truth in the form of a story that maintains people's interest in that. A parable says, here is a story, what is the truth that is in it? And it enables us to reach for the truth that's in there. The great thing about the parable today is that Jesus explains it. He doesn't always explain parables. In fact, it's quite rare that Jesus does that. That he said, as we heard this morning, he often finishes, let the one who has ears to hear listen. And so there's a grappling with the parable to say, well, what is this about? And although the parable reveals truth to those who want to find it, parables conceal the truth for those who don't want to see it. And parables, as told by Jesus, were spoken. They weren't read. And so its impact was to be an immediate thing for those who were listening. The impact was now. And that when we look at parables, to think about the context in the time that they were spoken, and generally parables had one main point, and which is the case in this one. This first parable in chapter 13 is that of a sower sowing seed. And as I said, the great thing is that we have Jesus explaining it in that second part. This is what it means. Now, anyone in the day of Jesus would understand the picture that Jesus paints here in this story, that of the sower. Now, maybe as Jesus is standing by in a boat by the side of the lake, maybe just up on the rise there was someone sowing seed. Maybe that's what was happening. But he says, consider the sower. After the men's lunch on Friday, I sought out Alan up there because I was thinking about farmers who used to sow this seed this way. You know, and Alan was talking about how he and your dad, I think, did this as well, would do this kind of thing and walk and spread the seed, and then you'd run some harrows over it just to get it into the soil a little bit. And I think, Alan, you'll say, like, it's really important that it was an even spread. I can still picture my dad on the farm, because some of our paddocks had these little tight corners in them where the planter couldn't get to. And so Dad would often just in with his container and that last little bit just throw some seed into that corner and a bit like this. And generally sometimes, and certainly in Jesus' day, the sower would be fairly careful about where the seed went. So the picture that Jesus paints here of the seed just sort of going everywhere is probably more than what would have happened generally. Often, like this, there were these straight furrows and there was a pathway next to it. So it was pretty easy to imagine some of the seed landing on a pathway that was hard. So it wasn't necessarily the case that the sower was being careless, but Jesus is pointing to the picture of this and to make his point about the seed, where the seed lands. And in the parables, some seed lands on the pathway, which is this really hard and compacted soil, wouldn't get anywhere. There were some that landed in shallow ground, not so great, and rocky. It might just start to grow, but that was about it. The sun would come down and scorch it. Some would land amongst these thorns, thorny ground. And as the seed grew along with the weeds choked out the seed that grew. And so everyone who was listening to this would go, yeah, we get that. Yeah, we can see that happening. We can see that happening. And Jesus said, though, that some seed fell on the good soil. And so the good soil was about, and as he explains it, it's about the soil has been open to receive, that our mind, the one who is the good soil, is open to receive the seed, open to receive the word that God is giving, is prepared to hear it, understands it, and having it translated into actions. So they hear it and it produces good fruit. It produces action. So really it's a parable of encouragement. A parable of encouragement of when sharing the good news of Jesus, that some lands on the hard ground, some, all these times when it doesn't seem to be doing much, you know, but some land in the good soil. Despite all of the times that nothing much seems to be happening, whether that be one-on-one in your conversations that you have or as a congregation or across the nation, sometimes you think, well, what is happening? But despite all of this, the encouragement in this parable is that the harvest will still come. The fruit will happen. Seed will still grow. Even if some seed seems a bit wasted, as it were, the fruit will come. It is certain. You know, at one table on Wednesday, I was talking a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on around us, and it's really hard to remain optimistic. And, you know, I like to think that I'm an optimistic, half-glass-full kind of bloke, but, you know, as a Christian person, sometimes it's so hard to remain optimistic. You know, I think about what's going on in the US, in Iran, where there's ceasefires and then there's not, and then you think about Russia and Ukraine and earthquakes in Venezuela, food prices, also rent, all sorts of things. Sometimes it's a bit hard to remain optimistic. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we sang the great old hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." It is well with my soul. And you know what it is? It is. It is well with my soul. When you step back and just take some deep breaths and think about Christian faith and life, that it is. And then, I don't know, probably Thursday, I think it was, read this on Facebook from Michael Frost's post, and this was such an encouraging word. Michael Frost says, "Everything is going to be all right." This is the quote from Brian Zand that I end my upcoming book with. It's from his book, When Everything's on Fire. And so he gives this quote from Brian Zand. "The reason I cannot be a cynic, the reason I refuse to despair, the reason I hold on to hope despite everything being on fire is that along with the Apostle Paul, I too am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, in Romans chapter 8. So I say it without embarrassment, everything is going to be all right. End of quote. That's the encouragement that comes from this parable, that at times there might be a lot of discouragement around us, but everything will be all right, that the fruit will continue to grow. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Now, that's what the parable's saying to us as well. William Barclay says, "It is our task to sow the seed and without discouragement to leave the rest to God." To leave the rest to God. I mentioned to Sundays ago something of Stephanie Rice's story, where 3 or 4 years ago she became a Christian and turned her life around. It's just so encouraging to read her Facebook posts and what she's doing. And just this week, she talked about some things that she kind of learnt that was really helpful for her, like the Bible translation she uses and the study Bible that she uses. And it's so encouraging. And it would seem to me that the seed fell on good soil. She's about 37, I think, now. Okay, so became a Christian when she was about 33, 34, something like that. And with her sister being a Christian as well, I suspect that the seed had kind of gone out there a little bit at times, but it finally landed in good soil. And for those of you who are older, it's just great encouragement to continue to pray for your children and grandchildren. Yeah? The seed will bear fruit. The other thing I read during the week is, now some of us will remember the Hackwells, Jeff and Ruth and Peter, Roger and Julie. How'd I go? It's amazing what things you can remember, but man, there's some things that I can't remember. Now, Peter and some of you, and I think it was Dawn, said that Peter was on the piano. Did some of you watch that show, ABC TV, The Piano? Peter was on that, the last episode, I think, of this last series. The bloke who brings his piano around lots of places, and he came in as Peter Hackwell. Good on Peter. And he works on translating the Bible into Indigenous languages, and has done for quite some time. And so I just stumbled across this post during the week. This week we're celebrating, this is from Aboriginal Bibles, this week we're celebrating that the final chapters of the Creole Audio Bible have been recorded. This project began in 1996, and we look forward to it being completed once the last recordings have been edited. Last week, Peter, as in Peter Hackwell, and Dennis spent long hours in the Nungalinga College recording studio, finishing the final unrecorded books of the Old Testament. This milestone comes after 30 years of work from many faithful people and will make the Creole Bible the first fully recorded audio Bible in any Australian Indigenous language. Praise God for this incredible achievement and for making it possible to bring his word to more people in an accessible format. Please join us in giving thanks to everyone who has contributed to this important work. And I'll leave that over here. There's a photo of Peter there and Dennis. And, you know, I got to thinking, when I think about Peter, you know, I haven't seen or talked to Peter for over 30 years, but I think the seed fell on good soil. Yeah. From all those years ago, and for those of you who encourage people like Peter as a young adult here, the seed was planted and you watered it well. Okay. And So whether it be Stephanie or Peter, you know, the seed lands in good soil, folks, at times, you know. Keep praying, keep praying. Now, to draw on your expertise, just for 5 minutes or so, and then it'll be done. I don't think there's too much more ad-libbing, I don't think. What makes good soil good? All our gardening people?
It's
friability.
Yeah, because you put mulch in
it. Oh, okay. Whether it's friable. Okay. So nutrients, compost, yes. Friable. Water. Yeah.
Sun.
Okay.
Worms.
Sorry.
Worms.
Worms. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Worms. Okay. And so in some ways this is the answer to my next question as well, is that what does soil need to keep it that way? I guess you've answered that question a bit. What is it that keeps soil good? What does it need for it to be at its best? A top up. Okay, a top up. Yes. So you need to keep attending to it, to the soil. And like some of my pots at home, you know, I haven't repotted them for years. Some I have. And it kind of shows, yeah? They don't thrive without the attention that they, ongoing attention they need. So then for us, as we reflect on this parable and want to be good soil, then let's extend what we've just shared and heard to this parable and us, that it follows that our hearts and minds and lives need that regular attention in regards to the things of God. What are the ways that we are tending to ourselves if we're to be good soil? And as we do that, is there some, again, thinking about the different places that the seed landed, is there some hardness that's developing within me? Is there some difficulty or challenge that I'm facing that is chipping away at faith and my confidence in it? Is there some worry or goal or desire that's hindering, choking out my spiritual growth? As all of those things can impact the quality of soil within us, if that makes sense, and consequently the fruit that we yield. So we need that regular attention, just as the soil, to keep it good, needs all those things that you mentioned, sun, compost, all those sorts of things, water, and attention. We need to keep doing certain things as well to maintain the best conditions for us to hear, for us to listen. Prayer, preferably daily. Reading the Bible, preferably daily. And, you know, if you want to start somewhere, start on Mark's Gospel. If you've read that lots of times, go back and start reading it. Gathering with other Christians, like sure here at church, but also in other ways that happen, some small group or otherwise, and to continue to participate in the worship of God, both communally and individually. There are things that we do, attention that we give to ourselves to remain the good soil. Let me finish. Some of the things that you mentioned there, to keep good soil good, sun, We sing it every Christmas time. Some words inspired by Malachi chapter 4. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. The Son of Righteousness. Water. Revelation 7, for the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd and he will lead them to springs of living water. Fertiliser. Did we say fertiliser? Neutral? What did we say? Compost? All that sort of stuff. There's another parable in Luke 13 where Jesus talks about this barren fig tree and someone says we should cut that down. And one of the other people says, Master, let's leave it for a year and I'll put some fertiliser around it and see if it bears fruit. Regular attention, Hebrews chapter 10. I just want to finish on this one. Attending to things regularly. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us hold to unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Let us pray. Let our God help us to have the ears and eyes of our heart open to you, that we may see and listen well, that we may be the good soil. Help us also, Lord, to be able to share that with others and the seed that is planted to nurture it in others as well. In the name of Christ, amen.